Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
You know Dasher, and Dancer, and let's see, Prancer, one more, and Vixen.
And don't forget the Comet and Cupid.
That's right.
Donner and Blitzen. I remembered.
But do you recall?
Who, Mickey?
Yeah, who?
The most famous reindeer of all.
Why, sure, Mickey. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names.
That's not very nice.
They never let poor Rudolph. Joining any reindeer games.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say,
"Ho, ho, ho, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?"
That's a great idea.
Then how the reindeer loved him, as they shouted out with glee,
"Whee!
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history."
Let's all sing.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose.
It really was.
And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say,
"Ho, ho, ho, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?"
Then how the reindeer loved him, as they shouted out with glee, "Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history."
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast Christmas Edition. I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, John. How you doing, John?
Ho, ho, ho. How are you, Dougie?
Oh, jumbo, John. Whoa. We got the whole pub decorated for Christmas. I wish we had more people joining us.
Up and stuff.
I wish we had more people joining us, but it's just me and you for the Christmas show right now, Johnny.
Yeah, we got the Christmas lights up and the Christmas tree over there in the corner, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer playing on the jukebox, so it's good to go. So.
Just as long as it's not Grandmom got run over. It's funny, but it's not my favorite. You know what I'm saying? The funniest one, I got my buddy Jose that works with me, and I had the Christmas music on the way home from work the other day, and he wasn't feeling too good. And the song I'm singing, I'm getting nothing for Christmas. Mommy and Daddy said I was bad. I'm singing the whole song. And he's like, you like this song? You like this song? Don't you know he gets out of my truck and he's whistling, I'm getting nothing. He turned around.
When it gets stuck in your head, it gets stuck in your head.
Yeah. He got out of the truck. He looked over at me. He goes, now I'm going to be singing this darn song all night long.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
I said, Jose, you're getting nothing for Christmas. But anyway, you ready? Merry, Merry Christmas to all of our listeners and all the friends of the show. We hope you guys have the best, happiest, and healthiest Christmas you can possibly have.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy New Year. I think I got them all covered. Happy anything else, Toyota-thon. So anything and everything you can think of. So enjoy your holiday, folks.
Nice try there, John. I don't think it's going to happen, but maybe we'll get free Toyotas out of this, John.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Or Festivus. Yeah, happy Festivus. There's the other one.
The grievings. Remember the grievings on Festivus?
Yes.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Don't get me started on the Disney grievings.
Yeah. Really?
The Yeti doesn't work.
Oh, no. Let's not even go there. Let's leave all that alone. All right.
Was that a heck of a fun argument this week?
Oh, goodness gracious. I thought, Doug, you were going to blow your top or something there for a little while. So, yeah.
I mean,
it was quite entertaining.
Yeah, me and Pat were having a good time going back and forth, and then Sean had to stick his pointy little nose in and start all his trouble and even add more to it. But anyway, I still don't understand how everybody didn't get my logic. I don't understand. I mean, they were telling me, I'm trying to say that all the other rides, if they were, that they are broke all the time. That is not what I said. I said if every other ride was let broken the way Expedition Everest was, it would be a big deal, wouldn't it, John?
I don't know. I'm going to leave it alone because I still love the ride, and I don't think that.
And you're entitled to it, but I don't understand why I'm not allowed not to love it.
You can dislike anything you want to. So you're entitled to have your own opinion. So I mean, for example, I think Soarin' is probably the most overrated ride on Disney property. I'm very unpopular with that opinion, but I mean, that is my opinion. I'm allowed to have it. So.
And people blanked and moaned about the screen wrinkles in the screen for years, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, but that was an easy fix, and it took them 6 years to do it.
That one's true. That's definitely true. It took a ridiculous amount of time to get that film redone. At some point, they could have easily switched out the projectors, you would think, and make that digital instead of the format they had and get rid of those
it's way too hard for them to do that, John. They'd have to remaster the whole film and go back and work on it, John, and then my God, Soarin' would have been shut down for maybe months in time. You can't have that. I mean, I don't know. I just sit there. My point is the ride disappointed me from jump. And it's allowed to disappoint me. If you love it, John, you love it. But to me, if you do Fast Pass, it's just another roller coaster to me. I thought the ride should have had more animatronics on it. And then the one it does have doesn't work, which, under my opinion, we hold Disney to a higher standard because they set the standard. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, you're correct with that.
Okay, so under the logic that it's no big deal that it don't work, then if it's no big deal to anybody that the stuff that it don't work, then why do we need all the animatronics in Splash Mountain? If you took them all out, it's still a great flume ride. Am I right or wrong?
It's a good flume ride, but the animatronics play a bigger role in Splash Mountain and in Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean.
But you'd probably Pirates you wouldn't enjoy because the animatronics are the main thing.
Yes,
on Splash Mountain, some of the people don't even like the animatronic. They just go on it because they want to get the drop. The thrill seekers, they're the same people that don't think Everest without the Yeti working is not a big deal. Was to me, the sights are better on Everest from the ground looking at the mountain than they are when you're on the ride, because you have everybody, you have Safari Mike going to me, well, okay, dog, and Tiki Diki Diki Sean going for the whole 4 seconds of the ride. Well, dude, you want to talk about the views? The whole ride's what, 5 seconds?
No, it's probably 90 seconds or so.
Yeah, big deal. You don't get to see anything. You blink of an eye, the view. Okay, the view ain't that good. You're up the hill, you're down the hill. It ain't like you see the view about the same amount of times you see the Yeti. Am I right or wrong?
I don't know. I guess, but I don't know. You're going by the Yeti at a pace, and I mean, if you don't tell,
you stop at the Yeti. You stop at the Yeti. You go up and you stop, and then you look straight at him, and then you start to go backwards.
The people that have never ridden it, if they didn't know that was supposed to move, probably have no indication whatsoever that it's supposed to move. So. I don't know. I hate to say it, but I agree. I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal. It doesn't bug me, but that's my opinion, so, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm not allowed to have one, not to see.
You're allowed to
have one. But Pat can say America sucks because he don't like the country. And Phantasmic is stupid.
I don't know if Pat ever said America.
Yeah, that's basically what he said that without saying it. America, the pavilion stinks. It's boring. Yeah. It's horrible. There's nothing to do there. But he's allowed to say that. He's allowed to pick on the history of our country, but I can't pick on a Yeti that don't work.
Well, if you want to talk about an animatronic that's not a good version, how about the Donald Trump one they made? That does not look like Donald Trump. So that was if you're talking about an animatronic that they left a little bit to be required. Oh my God, that's a horrible looking Donald Trump. So
they didn't do that on purpose. And I'm not saying I'm not saying Pat hates America, but Pat don't like the American Pavilion. He trashes Fantasmic. Maybe I'll go on it sometime. Me and you love Fantasmic, don't we, John?
Yeah. Well, I love all the nighttime shows. I mean, even the Rivers of Light, even though it leaves something to be desired out of the show, it's still a good show. I mean, I love the nighttime spectaculars. It's just Illuminations is by far my favorite. But yeah, Fantasmic's fantastic, obviously.
So. And I will say this, and I was happy, and he's probably going to be coming on a show in another week or two. Our good buddy Dennis is going to be stopping back in to sit in with us at the pub. And he agreed with me on Everest, that it's overrated. So I was happy to hear that. Me and Dennis actually agreed on something. So he was on my side with it. Because I think both me and him, and I don't want to speak for him, he will when he can come on the show. But do you remember when Everest was being designed?
Yes.
The way I took the whole design was that all the stuff was in the queue was going to be a part as you're going up the mountain. Like, I thought you were going to see animatronics of things that the Yeti destroyed, if you understand what I'm saying. The towns, the carnage that he caused, if you understand what I'm saying. Tell the story before you got there. That's why I was disappointed when there was only the Yeti standing there. And then I actually did see the Yeti work. So when you actually do see it work and then all you see is disco eyes, it's pretty disappointing.
So if the coaster went up the mountain really slow and you pulled through a little village and there was a tent on the side that had been destroyed by the Yeti and maybe some the backpacks and stuff all tore apart and just a general disarray and a campsite, that would be a lot cooler. And then maybe as you pulled around a corner, you saw something hide, you know, run off in the bushes.
Exactly. That's
pretty much what you're looking for.
What I thought it was going to be, John. I thought it was going to be like Splash Mountain at the beginning, or even like, no, hey, you have the little interlude with Seven Dwarfs Mine Train with the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah, in the mine. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I thought they were going to do more with it. That was my disappointment. If you just like roller coasters, I'm more of the storyteller kind of guy, especially as I'm getting, as you guys want to call me, older and crankier, which it's impossible for me to get crankier. Anyway, but the bottom line is it just disappointed me from jump.
Well, I think one of the key points that you do make is if you're going to enjoy the ride as a thorough attraction and not just as a thrilling roller coaster, you have to go through the queue. You have to go through that and get the whole storyline laid out so you understand the
story of the
background. The story background. So you get the whole gist of the story, because that's such an important part of that ride is to enjoy all that. So and it really sets the stage for exactly what that coaster is. So.
Exactly. And again, you guys like it, that's fine. But I'm getting berated because I don't like it. I think it's the fifth. I honestly would rather go on Goofy's Barnstormer. But that's just me. And I tried to make the illusion, like I made the same argument with Pat about Rock and Roller Coaster. if they took the music away and the whole story at the beginning. You just got on and got launched and went upside down a couple times. It wouldn't be as fun to me. As stupid as it is, but the story when you're going in and them talking to you about getting in the limo and going to the party and the whole launch, how about they do this? They take the launch away because it's dangerous on Rock and Roller Coaster, and they gradually take you up to speed with no music. Would it be the same ride?
No, it wouldn't be the same ride, and to really compare that to another coaster, you look at the Hulk at Universal Studios. It basically is the same type of coaster. You have launch, you're forced right into a couple of...
And it's nowhere near Rock and Roller Coaster.
And it's an exciting coaster, but that's what it is, and it's an exciting coaster. And it's themed after the Incredible Hulk. Do you realize what Disney could have done with that? I mean, to really, really take one of the giant Marvel characters and make a scientific experiment out of it and to make you ride that, it would have been so cool. But Universal took it and they put a little bit of green things here and that, and you ride the coaster and it shoves you really fast. That's it. I mean, that's the extent of the coaster. So yeah, Rock and Roller Coaster, even though it's basically the same ride, is 10 times the experience. That
because it's telling a whole story. And like,
yeah.
And then everybody gets on me like, dude, John, we talk off the air. What do we talk about all the time? Disney. I love Disney World. I'm taking my whole family. One of the Christmas gifts is a trip to Disney. I love Disney World. I hold it to a standard. The reason I paid the gazillion dollars to go there is because I love it and believe in it. But we're paying this gazillion dollars because and when you go there, don't you have certain expectations?
Absolutely.
So why? Like, that's my thing. I don't understand why anybody's apologizing for them. They didn't complete the ride, and it's incomplete. It's still good, but it won't be great to me because that don't work. That's what makes the ride to me, and everybody don't like. How can I be wrong if it's my opinion?
That's your opinion. That's your opinion, and you're entitled to it. So.
When I go to the parks, the last 3 years I haven't even rode the ride. I have no interest in doing it. Before that I've gotten fast passes multiple times and gave them away. And now tomorrow, if I found out the Yeti worked again, I'd be one of the first ones in line to go see it. I mean,
well, I think everybody would, because everybody's been there's quite a few people that are waiting for that to ever get fixed if it does. So.
And then I like Mr. Potato Head. How many times did you hear the Toy Story haters have grief that Mr. Potato Head don't work, John? Which has nothing to do with the ride. It don't even affect that ride.
Yeah, it's in the queue. So.
So I don't know. I know I'm wrong. And then our friend Judith is going to get mad about the same thing. You are mad. You kind of were back and forth on the fence with us talking about it. So let's go right to that story why we're doing our grievances right now for Festivus, airing our grievances.
let's get it all out there. Air all that bad laundry, right?
The hotels on the Resort Plaza hotels, I mean the hotels on Hotel Plaza Boulevard in the Springs, getting extra magic hours and fast pass. She's really upset about it. Like she mentioned selling DVC, which I know will never happen because even when she goes off like I do, she still loves Disney. So I know our dear friend Judith ain't going to sell it. And now I know she's going to be mad at me, but I don't have a problem with it.
I know where you're coming from. I know what you're going to say with the lack of moderate resorts at Disney now, but I don't know. I disagree. It's already hard enough, so hard to get fast passes for some of the attractions out there now, and especially as Toy Story and Star Wars come online, it's going to be even harder. And so now us people that did invest in DVC or that do, you know, book on Disney property specifically to get that $60 or 60-day window to book our fast passes, now we're forced into the same spot with everybody else. So now we have even more competition to try to get those fast passes. So
now I'm on the other side because of under the logic of that, and I understand DVC, you're upset, blah blah blah. Your DVC is your resort, which you pay for, which is the beauty of that resort, but the Swan and Dolphin gets it. So does the other, the Waldorf and the other high-end ones. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah, I think the Hilton that Waldorf and then probably the Four Seasons over there.
They
right?
get it, yes.
And, yeah, I'm pretty sure they probably get it too.
They're on property. Disney allowed them to build, and then the Swan and Dolphin gets it. So those hotels are on Disney property. They lease the property. They're within the gates. I drive by them every time I go to my supermarket right out the gate there.
Yeah, and I mean, under that, if you're going to allow the Four Seasons and the Waldorf and all those
and
to have
Swan
it,
and Dolphin.
You pretty yeah, and the Swan and Dolphin, then I guess you pretty much have to because they are they're the same. I mean, even though the Swan and Dolphin are sitting there right on Crescent Lake, still Hotel Row is Disney property. They're in the same exactly the same situation as the Swan and Dolphin. I mean, the Swan and Dolphin are obviously a little closer to Epcot and stuff like that, but they are still run by an outside company, but on Disney property. So,
and they're doing all these expansions and stuff, and you know darn right well, as an agent and everything that we know doing this show and everything else, do you honestly believe that Coronado and Caribbean Beach, when they're done, those towers are going to be moderates anymore? And really, even moderates under Disney standards are two bills a night now. That ain't moderate, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no way to get – I don't think you can get into even Port Orleans or French Quarter or Riverside anymore for less than two. And that's – if you're lucky, you can get it at two. I think some nights they're running at three.
And,
so,
and we've been saying for years that – and the thing of it is all they want to build is DVC, which one of those – Caribbean – one of them's going to be DVC. You understand what I'm saying? All they want to do now is build DVC and high-end. We've been saying for years they need more moderate rooms and they need more value. Have we or have we not?
We've been saying that, and I don't even know if they have any plans on building moderates. I mean, what the last construction I saw consisting of moderates was out on
that
the
west,
other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Flamingo Crossings area out on the other side of 429. So, yeah, that's where it seems to go. They're almost like marketing out their moderates now.
Yeah, and that's what my point was. They're basically letting – instead of them building values and moderates, they're going to give you the rooms on Hotel Plaza Boulevard. And I'll tell you what. If I wasn't staying where I'm staying this time at the house I rented, I would be – me and Brenda, I would probably switch from Coronado and go stay at the Bay.
I think
because the rooms
looking,
are nicer.
I think if you're looking for amenities, if you're looking for the comfort of the bed, the size
of
the
room. I like the springs.
Yeah, yeah, in the proximity to Disney Springs, I think you would definitely think about Hotel Row. There's absolutely nothing, and they're beautiful resorts. I think the one thing that you're going to miss staying over there is obviously the theming. You're not going to have that great southern Louisiana theming that you have at Port Orleans or Southwest theming that you have at Coronado, but that's it. I mean, other than that, The resorts themselves are beautiful.
And Brenda will walk right over to the springs, hop on the boat, and go to Riverside for the night.
Yeah, yeah, you could do that.
And I can spend my night at the springs, party, have a good time, and not worry about driving. Because I'm right there, I'll walk home to my hotel.
Absolutely.
I mean, I understand where Judith is coming from, and I feel bad for our sweet friend, upset. But the bottom line is, just so you know, And I think she will eventually know. With all these extra additions coming on and all the Star Wars and Toy Story Land and all the other expansions that's on the way, it was either Disney was going to add to their resorts or do this. And they decided to take the easy way out and just add these hotels to their roster. Because you can even book through Disney Travel now, I think, with these hotels.
Yeah, yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, based on I think they realize that they're really building, they're pumping those DVC resorts out. So, I mean, as a DVC member, I have no problem with that. It just gives me more and more options, but it makes it harder and harder to try to book any moderates, especially with all the construction going on at Coronado and Caribbean Beach right now.
Well, the thing that POs you too is all the rooms that are available at Caribbean Beach are the pirate rooms, which half my guests don't want if they're families without kids or have daughters, they don't want pirate rooms. And then at the same thing with Riverside, it's always the deluxe room.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's always the high end. And then the values, Pop Century's never has any availability, hardly. It's all-star music or movie, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and if you go over there, you're going to be stuck with nothing against children. I have one, but you're going to be stuck with 40,000 kids during Pop Warner or the cheerleading convention. So,
the bottom line for me is, again, because I don't have DVC, and I feel bad. Like for you if it bothers you. Again, you can have your own opinion. I'm not going to hate you for it. I feel bad for you if it upsets you. But for me, I'm happy that those resorts have options because, you know what, competition lower. It gives me a chance to – I'd rather stay in the B resort for $110 a night than stay at Coronado for $190.
I'll let you know how much it upsets me when I'm go to make my 60-day reservations if I can't get a Flight of Passage and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So we'll know that at that point how much I get upset. So.
But you know what? It's been that way anyway, John.
Well, I don't know. I've got those before, so we'll see what happens this time. If I get up in the morning like I usually do and try to make those fast passes and I can't get them, then I know something's wrong. So.
Yeah, well, with me anymore, to be... And again, I keep saying it, to be honest with you, I want to get on Flight of Passage when I go down, but that's the only thing I'm really worried about. I'm to the point where when I go there, if I get on it, I get on it. If I don't, I don't. I just like being on property.
Well, that's where my wife is for sure. If she doesn't ride a ride all day, she's perfectly content. Obviously, we spend all our time at Epcot anyway and do nothing except walk around. So.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'll get on Tesla. I can always get on Spaceship Earth. I can always do TTA. I can always do Haunted Mansion. You understand what I'm saying? I always get on to make my Disney experience. If I don't do I want to do Flight of Passage on this trip, but if I don't, it ain't going to break my heart.
Yeah, you're not gonna die without doing it. You'll be okay. But
no,
you're gonna give it a shot. So.
And the thing of it is I'm a travel agent, so I'm kicked in the butt to begin with because I can't book before I get there until I get my tickets.
Yeah. So you're basically gonna have to wait in line if you really want to ride it. So
exactly. But again, I can't. I'm not against it. And Judith wants to come on to give her side of the story. I want to get her. I want to get the girls on again. I want to try to do something in the next week or two for the end of the year. And I want to try to do a show, maybe get the girls on if they want to. So when you guys hear this, Judith, Jen, and Carmen, let me know if you want to come on. I want to do, like, predictions for next year, things you're looking forward to, and things that happened in the past year, like do a year in review. You know what I'm saying? So
okay. We'll
see what happens. See if I can throw that together within the next week or two. Hopefully next week, but we'll see what happens. So sorry, John, if you're upset about the rooms coming.
Oh, I'll be okay. You know.
But, you know.
I'm laid back about most things anyway, so that's cool.
But they're good neighbor hotels anyway. I mean, I'm looking forward. Bob's been staying at the Hilton, and he loves it there.
Yeah, we do a lot of business with that Hilton and with that Waldorf Astoria. So I've actually been out there quite a few times and walked around the resort, and they're beautiful resorts, that's for sure. So
yeah, I mean, they're no Disney resorts, but I tell you what, the amenities in the rooms are better than the Disney resorts.
Yeah, like we said, I mean, the thing is you're not going to have the theming.
No.
But if you're just after a elegant, beautiful resort, then yeah, that's your choice.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I love Disney resorts because there's actual Disney cast members working
there. The outside of the rooms are better at Disney. The inside
the
of the rooms are better.
I mean,
yeah, the whole theming. Like, none of those resorts even come close to Riverside or Boardwalk or whatever. But if you take the B resort, what they give you in the room to what the Boardwalk gives you in a standard room, it's not even close.
Yeah, if you take away the view and then the actual landscaping and theming of the resort, and you just go basis on the room itself, then you would probably take the B resort versus most rooms at Disney.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the Animal Kingdom rooms are gorgeous, you know, the showers and stuff like that, but they've been up in their game. But, I mean, for the longest time, I remember those off-site hotels had the flat screens before Disney.
Yeah, that, and I think for the most part, the rooms are going to be a little bigger off-site, so.
But anyway, I love my Riverside. Don't get me wrong. I love all the resorts, but you can't give it to certain ones and not give it to all, in my opinion.
I don't know. Obviously, I love it. I bought DVC as opposed to buying the Wyndham timeshare or something else, you know? So.
No, I hear you. Your resale value is probably much better, too, on the Disney one.
Yeah, probably. I wouldn't know. I have no interest whatsoever. I kill my points, believe me. So.
And speaking, you already talked about it, the Donald Trump coming to the Hall of Presidents. Are you planning on going over to see it anytime soon?
Yeah, yeah. As soon as my passes are set again, I think the 4th or the 5th, probably that weekend after that, I'm going to head over to the Magic Kingdom. And every time that they refit Hall of Presidents, I got to go watch it as soon as possible. So, yeah, I'll be checking it out very, very soon.
Yeah, they got the video in online and the speech, so I'll probably watch it before I go. You know, but we'll see. They did make them. They gave them a hell of a chance. I mean, a hell of a neck. I'll tell you what. And next looks like they got a. It looks like a whatchamacallit. What's the one that flew Nemo? The stork. Yeah, the big, you know, big stork jaw hanging down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know his name, but I know who you're saying. The seagull, or not the pelican, right?
Remember the stork that holds all the water, the big jaw that hangs down? His neck, Trump's neck's hanging down to the floor. all the elasticity's gone in his neck, man, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it's not a very good likeness. It was not the best version. I mean, it was kind of reminded me of that one Ellen one they had in Universe of Energy that was not very good. So yeah, they left a little be desired.
I'll
on
tell
that,
you what, so. They might have used the old Ellen head. It kind of looks a little familiar. They might have cut some cost and use Ellen's old head.
I don't know. One of the things I saw on one of the Facebook groups was that they were so sure that Hillary was going to win the election, they had built Hillary already, and that's why it took so long. They had to redo Hillary's face into Donald Trump's, and if you look at it, it almost looks like it. So.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck's going on, but that artist's rendering is horrible.
Oh, it's bad. So.
Did you hear about this? I don't know if you do this. Select Disney restaurants join Open Table reservation system.
No, I don't think I've done this before.
Yeah, it's Open Table. It's an app. It's a dining app. And hold on here one second. I'm bringing it up. Yeah, it's a website, and I guess you can get the app on your phone, and it's worldwide. I mean, you use Open Table for restaurants all over the country, and Disney has a few restaurants have joined: Artist Point, Boat Rights, Flying Fish, Grand Floridian Cafe, Jico, Sanaa, and The Wave. You can use Open Table now for reservation instead of going to Disney Dining.
That's kind of an oddball selection of restaurants to put on there, isn't it? Nothing at Disney Springs, but...
Yeah, they probably just threw a few out there just to try it out.
Yeah, I guess test case. So.
And then the Pizza Ponte soft opening at the Disney Springs. You excited about this, Johnny?
I'm very excited if it gets me out of doing the Sarasota route, which it should be sometime within the next week. Yeah, because we're pumping a lot of stuff into that place. We had like 6 pallets go there yesterday. So place is going to be they're anticipating a giant amount of business coming out of there. So
you might be delivering here?
Yes.
Oh, aren't you going to be lucky?
Oh, yeah, well, it's a lot of work, but yeah, if it involves me not having to drive to Sarasota on Fridays, I will be happy to bust my butt doing that. So,
Pizza Ponte, the newest quick service restaurant at Disney Springs, is now in soft open at the landing. And I don't know how they keep fitting all this crap in the landing. That's all I'm saying.
You're not kidding, right?
One of our 4 new venues opening this winter at Disney Springs, Pizza Ponte, is a quick service concept serving pizza by the slice, made to order, hot sandwiches, and authentic Italian desserts. For more about the backstory of Pizza Ponte and how the venues are positioned within Disney Springs, here's a sneak peek at the post. Everything is laid out on the counter alongside an open kitchen where you can see all the pizza varieties on offer to make your selection. I'll tell you what, this video, there's a lot of choices here.
And this looks like a great place if you just want to slice a decent pizza, you know, as opposed to you can go over to the boardwalk and get, I hate to say it, but that garbage pizza they have over there. But if you want to pay, what, $4, $5, $6 for just one good slice of pizza, this looks like a great choice. So.
And I'll tell you what, handcrafted sandwiches on Roman pizza bread. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Tomato, mozzarella, arugula for $9. I'm trying to read it. The picture here is real small. It's a Sicilian tuna, tomato, onion, arugula, Olivia. That's $9. Meatball. I mean, no, this is a mortadella salami sandwich for $11. So there's even sandwiches for like $9 to $11, which isn't bad.
Yeah, yeah, they got the prosciutto di Parma, they got the ponte, they got the pomodoro, the tonno, and the muffuletta. So, yeah, all $9 to $11 with a variety of Italian sliced meats on it. So, yeah, that sounds fantastic.
And they got all kind of desserts. There's like 10 different desserts. They got, I mean, and they're not bad. They range from anywhere between $4 and $7, and they got cannolis, which I like. You like cannolis?
Oh, tiramisu. Anytime I can get a slice of tiramisu, I'm a happy guy. So, yeah, and cannolis I'm not too big on, but I love me some tiramisu.
No, it's all good. Seating, the dining room seating is available both indoor and out, and although compact, looks very elegant and airy. The large windows looking out onto the landing are very nice touch, which it's a really nice little view. The food, if you order multiple slices instead of on a tray, they are served on a larger flat piece of cardboard, as seen below. They show you. So instead of your plate, you'll get a bigger piece of cardboard. What else? They tried a couple slices each. The slices are $7 a piece, John.
Yep. Yep.
Which isn't horrible. They're a pretty nice size slice.
No, and if you get a real, I mean, you have to think you're on Disney property, and if you're going to pay for a real slice of pizza, this is not your like I said, this is not your Little Caesars pizza or something like that. Nothing against Little Caesars, but, you know, this is
pizza.
Real, yeah, this is a real oven-baked pizza, probably out of a wood-fired, you know, oven, so with good ingredients. Believe me, I know. So
I mean, and people complain about, and again, I do my share of it, but not about the food too often, do I, John? Complain about the prices of food?
No. You do your fair share of complaining about Disney, but I don't think you and the food prices, you don't complain a whole lot, other than some of the a la carte stuff. But
yeah,
that one I agree with you on, it's for sure. So
the thing of it is, with me with a la carte, just make my meal for me.
Yep.
Or just give me a price.
More.
Just give me one price. I don't know. It, like I said a million times, it just seems so much different when I'm paying $10 for a potato.
Yep.
If you tell me $58 for the whole meal, I'm okay with it. But just don't
tell
me. I don't know. It's just, you don't want to see it sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, don't tell me the steak was $48 and a potato is $10.
Yeah, just
really.
Just make it the meal $58, you know?
Yep.
But, like, we went down this is going back years ago. My beautiful mother was still with us. And I remember we all went down to Ocean City. And there was me, my wife, my mother, my godson, and my brother and his wife. It was the six of us. We ordered two pizzas, right? An order of fries, and we all got drinks. It was $100. So I don't understand how anybody could say Disney's, like, crazy expensive.
No. I mean, if you go to the mall to Sbarro or any place like that, you're going to pay, what, $5, $6 for a slice of pizza anyway?
Easy. So, I pay $7 here at the Hamilton Mall.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I don't know where people get so upset anyway. If you go to the movies and you look at a soda and a popcorn, you buy at the movies, you're never going to pay the amount of money on Disney property that you pay for a soda and popcorn at the movies. That's got to be the most ridiculous price you ever pay. So,
did you pay that price going to see the new Star Wars movie?
I hate to tell you this. You're probably going to be crushed, but we're waiting until after the first of the year to go see Star Wars. So
you
haven't seen it yet?
So.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, I'm shocked at that. Now, there's been reviews on both sides of this new one.
I know from what my wife is telling me, people are either very happy or very upset. So
yeah.
I'm trying to stay out of it right now. So
it's kind of like the Expedition Everest argument.
Yeah, actually, my wife brought that up. I was telling her about the discussion you got in the other day with the guys on Twitter and stuff, and how upset you guys were getting. And she said her sister and a couple of her friends had gotten in such a heated discussion over Star Wars on both sides of it that they had stopped talking to each other. So it's the same thing. So.
Ay. And again, I never even thought it would go there. I mean, Pat, as usual, was the culprit. He started the crap as usual.
It's all Pat's fault, right?
It usually is. And I like Pat. I like, you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Pat's the reason why Dave's so darn angry and ornery all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, Dave wasn't even in that one at all. So.
Well, he slithered into something late.
Okay.
Yeah, he had to come in late to the fight just to add his two little burning scents, if you understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
So I don't even get me started on Dave. Anyway, Magic Kingdom, you want to read the Magic Kingdom Holiday Entertainment begins?
I sure will.
During regular park hours? What's that, 1 or 2 days?
Well, I think all the holiday parties are over, so. Yeah, following the final Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party tonight, which was a day ago, so yesterday, I guess, Magic Kingdom will begin offering its holiday entertainment during regular park hours. Here's the schedule. December 23rd through the 29th. Happily Ever After at 9, a Frozen Holiday Wish at 6:15, Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade, 12 p.m. and 3:30 p.m., Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration, 7, 8, and 11 p.m., a Totally Tomorrowland Christmas, 3:45, 4:45, 5:45, 7:30, 8:30, and 9:30, and Voice Play, 3:15, 4:15, 5:15, and 6:15. And then December 30th and the 31st, Fantasy in the Sky Fireworks at 6:30 and 11:50 p.m., a Frozen Holiday Wish at 6 p.m., Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade, 12 and 3:30 p.m., Mickey's Most Merriest Celebration, 8, 9, and 10 p.m., a Total Tomorrowland Christmas, 12:15, 1:15, 2:15, 3:45, 4:45, and 5:45, and DJ dance parties at Cinderella Castle, Four Court Stage, Frontier, and Tomorrowland.
No, I'm just surprised there's days that there. I'm surprised they didn't have parties on all them days.
They've traditionally stopped the Christmas parties. I think on the 22nd or thereabouts, and that's because if you're just a pass holder or a cast member or anything else, you can't get in at this time anyway. So you're probably paying the premier price for tickets right now anyway. So.
And did you see on our latest vlogger, one of our latest vlogs, our good friends over, The Adventures of Peas and Carrots, Carmen and them mentioned us. So thank you, Carmen, for mentioning us on your vlog. We really appreciate it.
Always happy to be a part of anything else, right?
Yes. Yeah, Carmen, they're good people. I can't wait to see them down at the World again. Have some fun. We had a good time last year.
Oh, absolutely.
Temporary store to open during a major update of World of Disney at Disney Springs. Did you hear about this one?
Yeah, I saw this the other day. Apparently, with all the other updates that have came to Disney Springs, I guess they figured that it was time to really go through and redo World of Disney, which I think they've done a couple of updates over the last couple of years, but I don't think the place has had a major renovation in a while, so. Well, I guess that's what they're going to do.
Well, I think what's going to happen myself, you know, it says World of Disney will be undergoing a major refurbishment in 2018, which will completely change the look of the store. I think what they're going to do is they kept it open while everything else is going on because they needed the retail space. But I think what's going to happen now is I think it's going to look like the rest of it.
Yeah, so they're probably going to get rid of those giant figurines outside the Stitch and the Huey, yeah. Louie, and Dewey on the outside and stuff like that, and probably just, I guess, make the architecture fit in with the rest of Disney Springs.
Yeah, it's going to go more with that beige and brown and the, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit of the rustic look. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Now, during this time, the store will be moving portions of its inventory to a temporary location across from the Polite Pig in the town center. As of now, the existing water store is open as normal, but very soon after the holidays, I think that's going to be closing. And I ain't shocked. I seen this coming. I knew this was going to happen. There was no way they were going to leave that be totally different than everything else.
Yeah, it kind of does. Is not fitted in with everything else right now. When you come out of that lime garage and you look straight at out, you're looking at all that brown and beige architecture like you're talking about, and you look over and, yeah, the World of Disney does kind of stick out, but so does the Lego store. So I'm wondering if maybe something's, you know, coming for it too, or at least the outside of it.
Anyway, I seen the World of Disney. That was good. I knew I kind of, not, I knew, but I had a feeling that it was going to happen because, like you were saying, coming off the escalator, it just don't fit with everything else anymore. I don't even know is, I mean, how much longer do you think, and this is just me, you know, talking out loud, how long do you think rainforest and all stays the way it is?
I don't know. The T-Rex and stuff like that, I think those have to stay. I mean, they're kind of
I think
iconic.
They have to stay, but do you think maybe they stay change some of the outside architecture on them?
I don't think so. I think those, they kind of are built to attract your attention like that. So, yeah, I'd be kind of surprised, especially Rainforest and T-Rex. I mean, T-Rex has that big giant skeleton outside, and Rainforest just redid that volcano a year or two ago. So, yeah, I'd be really surprised if they redo those.
Ah, here we go. More things at the Springs. Walls down, walls down, and signs up at Marie and Enzo's. Enzo's Hideaway and the Edison. I'm really excited about this, Johnny.
That looks really cool. And we talked all about that last week with that tunnel that goes between all of them. So it really seems like this is going to be just a great spot to get a drink and do one of those, just wander around and explore the entire place. You know what I mean? So.
I mean, the building just looks absolutely beautiful. I love the architecture of it.
Yeah, and they've really, I mean, reading that whole thing last week about all the backstory that they've really thought out and tried to hide little elements of in through all the details and stuff, this is just going to be such a cool place to explore.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous. And it will host a grand opening gala on December 31st, so that ought to be a great time. But I'm looking at the outside signage. It says... on the big sign, it has Marie and Enzo's Restaurante, and then it has Seafood and Grill over another window, and then Maria's and Enzo's Entrance, and then it has a Pasto at Forno. So, I mean, I can't wait to roam around. It's a pretty big building, and it's different.
Absolutely. It's huge, and like we said, it's connected, I guess, underneath to the Edison with that tunnel. So, yeah, it's really, really cool.
Yeah, we're going to have some good times here. And if you could stay at one of those good neighbor hotels with the extra magic hours and everything else, and then at night get to go over here, those hotels are looking better and better, John.
walking distance. So, yeah, now you get all the benefits. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you think Disney might be shooting themselves in the foot a little bit with that, since they are extending all the benefits there? I don't know. I know they're doing the 60-day window for fast pass bookings, but are they doing magic bands and extra magic hours?
Yeah, you get everything. And really? I think you should, because, I mean, I think it's a good thing, John, because if more people book there, see, this is what, okay, know how you stay at the Boardwalk because you want Epcot?
Yeah.
They're opening all these, do you think that, I am not surprised with them opening all these restaurants and everything there is to do at the Springs. Don't you think they need a little more occupation than just Saratoga?
Yeah, you're probably right. And it's not just the amount of people out there. Because if you walk around Disney Springs like right now, I told you, we were there at, I think, 10:30 last week morning. You know, 10:30 in the morning, it was packed already. There's certainly the influx of people there now. But I think they need to get... They're looking to get more people that are dining there, not just hanging out and going to the stores and stuff like that. So if you are offering all that and you're offering good prices at those Disney Resort hotels right down Hotel Row, you're within walking distance of Disney Springs, I think you're going to get a lot more business and probably a lot more people that would be willing to eat out, have a couple of drinks, and then just walk back to the resort. So.
And I wonder if they're going to let the Mickey Uber, the minivans, you know what I'm saying, go there. And I just think it's good and all, because it, and I think it'll also make those hotels up to higher standards, because Disney's going to have this. They'll make sure everything is good on them now, because that was one of the other things. Some people were afraid to book there because they weren't totally affiliated. I think it's a good thing. I honestly think when it's all said and done, it's going to be a good thing, because it's going to give more people like me and my wife opportunities. Like, I don't see, if you're a family of four or with kids and all, I'd say stay at the All-Stars. But if you're like me and Brenda, Bob and Mary, you and Lisa now, if you just want to stay there for a couple days, wouldn't it be nice to have your extra magic hours, John? Because you almost stayed there last year because of your points We're out.
Well, you know, after the hurricane, we had a night booked at the Lake Buena Vista Suites. And, I mean, I tried to get into All-Stars, but All-Stars was going to be like $165 for the night. And then over at LBV, the Wyndham Lake Buena Vista, it was going to be $110. Mm-hmm. I mean, really? And it was a suite, as opposed to what I could have stayed for $55 more over at All-Stars. So, I mean, which one am I going to pick? I mean, you know, so.
Exactly, and that's my point. It's just, it's better for people that need rooms, because you guys have DVC, and face it. The other thing is, John, you guys love DVC, and you know your way around it. Half the people booking these hotels, if they're going to stay there, I don't think they're Disney fanatics anyway. So I don't know if they're going to do FastPass. I don't know if they're going to learn as they go. Do you disagree with me on that?
Yeah, a lot of those folks might be the first or second time visitors that are not real sure just on what they're doing. And maybe even some of the people that are experienced Disney travelers, maybe they're looking to go to some other locations in Orlando, because booking out there would put you a little closer to Interstate 4 and the availability to get over to SeaWorld or Universal or some of the other parks. So, you know, that might be a thought too. So,
now I just think it's good for anybody that don't have the coin to drop $5 on the Boardwalk or Yacht and Beach Club, or, you know what I'm saying, 4+. You know, and that adds up, man, if you don't own DVC, and that's the only thing available.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I don't know. I'm going to be beat up by our good friend. I know that. Next story, John. Did you see? I'll go to our website. It's all in WDW. Did you see Bob posted all the wonderful acts coming to the Flower and Garden Festival?
Yes, I did. And there's some new ones, aren't there? And some very interesting ones.
Yeah, there's some real new ones. Some of them I can't believe they're going to be singing here. You know, you didn't expect it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, Night Ranger's going to be there. Some of the days we're there, and Starship, and Night Ranger's the 2nd through the 5th. Starship's the 9th through the 12th. Simple Plan is 16th through the 19th. Little River Band, the 23rd to the 26th. The orchestra starring former members of ELO. I would love to see that. I was a big ELO fan. Did you like them?
Yes, yeah. Electric Light Orchestra. Yes, I did.
Hello, so. How are you? Are you still the same? Don't you real? Oh, that was Operator, just in case you didn't know. March 30th through April 2nd is the ELO. New Fog Hat. Really, you have to tell me they're new? 6th and the 7th of April. New Survivor. You know what Survivor, the big song Survivor sang?
I can't imagine. Let me think. Would it have to do with Philadelphia and Rocky or something?
Yes.
I imagine it would. Yeah, I think I know that song.
Well, what cat was it from?
That would be Eye of the Tiger.
Very
on,
good.
Man.
April 8th and 9th. The new Smash Mouth. April 13th and 14th. New Rick Springfield, the 15th and 16th. New
Jesse's Girl. Wow.
I wish I had Jesse's Girl.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I remember my ex-girlfriend and my cousin, man. They wouldn't miss General Hospital with him on there.
If I could just walk by while he's singing Jesse's Girl, that'd be pretty freaking good. So.
Yeah. But these are all new to this year's show, or new to festival. Foghat, Survivor, Smash Mouth, Rick Springfield. Do you know Jody Messina?
Yeah, I've heard a couple of her songs.
What's her major hit?
I don't remember song titles, so I
Hits
know.
Carolina, Tales
okay.
California.
Yeah. Yes, I certainly heard that song.
Lone Star, I used to like Lone Star, April 22nd and 23rd. Blood, Sweat, and Tears, featuring Bo Bice. You know where Bo Bice is from?
That was the last year I ever watched American Idol.
Yep. He has a good voice.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that one because he had kind of that bluesy country western mix, you know, so I really enjoyed his music. But that was the last year we watched.
Yeah. So. There you go. You cleared yourself up. I was going to tell you you're muffling again, Johnny.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go. Quit eating that microphone. Herman Hermit, starring Peter Noon, the 4th, May 4th through the 7th. Bow Bites is the 27th through the 30th. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. May 11th and 12th, the Village People. Don Felder, formerly of the Eagles, May 13th and 14th. The Guess Who. Guess Who, John?
Guess Who?
Yeah, May 18th through the 21st. And I like me some spinners. The 25th to the 28th, they're going to end the festival. So I'm looking forward to a lot of these groups I'd like to see, John. You got to go spend some weekends out here.
Well, now one of my biggest favorite bands of all time is the Eagles. So is Don Felder going to be able to sing all of the Eagle songs, or does he have certain rights that he's allowed to sing, or any idea on that?
No, I have no clue, but I think if they're mentioning the group, he's going to be allowed to sing a lot of it.
Oh, man, I would hope so, because I love the Eagles, so love to hear Hotel California and all, you know, man. So,
the
yeah.
new kid in town.
Exactly.
Everybody. So. That's what you guys are going to be singing when I move down there. The new grandpa in town. By the time
get
I
off
get
my
down,
lawn.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness. What's up next, Johnny?
Let's see.
They're saying this is a party sold out. Disney shares and updates on latest progress at Disney Star Wars Galaxy Edge. You want to read that?
Sure. We'll go with some. I always get the Star Wars stories. Let's see. This past weekend, Star Wars Galactic Nights at Disney's Hollywood Studios hosted a special panel with Walt Disney Imagineering to update guests on the latest progress at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Star Wars Imagineer Scott Trowbridge was joined by Imagineers Robin Reardon and Chris Beatty and Doug Ching from Lucasfilm. The designer shared an inside look at the Millennium Falcon that guests will be able to get inside. A look at a fleet of full-size X-Wing fighters being
they
built
look
for the
awesome,
Star Wars
don't
land.
They?
Oh, dude. You walk through a freak. Oh, my God.
Yes.
And finally, a look at one of the merchandise locations overseen by a Toldarian, one of the creatures we first encountered on Tatooine in Star Wars The Phantom Menace. So, yeah, if we can walk through a hangar bay that has some X-Wings just sitting in it, and we actually get to walk around them while we wait to get on the Millennium Falcon ride, oh, goodness gracious. Yeah.
That would be your Toy Story, wouldn't it?
Oh, man. Geekdom.
They're your Lincoln Logs, buddy. And this store kind of looks like Morocco meets outer space, don't it?
Oh, well, the Tatooine store is that type of thing. I mean, if you remember what, you know, the Tatooine Traders is outside Star Tours, it kind of does look like Morocco.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Oh, my goodness. I'm just looking at that offsite again with the hotels, thinking of my girl, Judith. she was fired up. She told me it was her park hopper.
Yeah, that's what she said. So,
I mean, that's about it for a lot of the news. I'm going to head over to our other news vendors here and see what else. Do you have anything else, Johnny?
Yeah, I got a couple. Did you happen to see that the resort mugs went up again?
No, I did not. Oh, my God, that's going to be trouble. Pat, listen, buddy.
So the resort mugs, I think, were at $16.95 or something like that. They're up to $18.99 now. And, of course, they're good for your length of stay, either one day or up to 2 weeks. But, yeah, $19 plus tax, basically, right now is what you're looking at for a resort mug. So I think the only people that are going to be getting those now are if you're on the dining plan. I mean, at some point you're going to outprice yourself, right?
I mean, I don't know. Pat has the boys, and he says it's worth it with him at the hotel, which that's fine. But to me, unless they totally price me out, because I'm not going to that machine enough times for me to get my money out of it.
Well, see, the thing is, I mean, even if we were from out of state and we were either flying or driving down here, if I was staying at the boardwalk like we are for our next trip, I would just walk my happy butt right over to the Hess gas station and buy a 12-pack of Coke. And tote it right back to the resort. So you've got 12 sodas there, or buy two of them. Heck, you got 24 sodas. So you'll be fine. But I don't know if you happen to see this, but in the local news, we got this week a woman got arrested for trying to sell a Magic Kingdom stroller. she took it home and tried to sell it on eBay. or not on eBay, but on Facebook merchandise. So, yeah, yeah. So don't take your stroller from Walt Disney World and try to sell it. You're going to get caught.
That's very, very sad, John.
Yeah, that's incredibly sad. And in the big story, I don't know if you saw this anywhere. I think it might be on the other site, but a big thing, we stay at DVC Resort, and we don't have daily housekeeping.
Yeah, I just had that up. I was going to read it. So go ahead about the trash removal and all.
Yep. Yeah, well, not only the trash removal, but now instead of do not disturb signs on your doors, you're going to end up getting a room occupied sign. And the Disney cast members have the right to come into your room at least once every day if they feel it necessary, or if they feel anything is maybe a little curious.
Askew.
So, yeah, exactly. So don't be surprised, even if you are DVC and you're used to having your room left alone the entire trip, that you're going to have somebody come into your room and at least remove your trash and, I don't know, maybe take a look around, make sure nothing's going on. So I think my son might have a problem with it because he just likes to hang out in our room, but I don't have a problem with it at all. And I think we all know where that's coming from. So.
Yeah. I don't know. All I got to say is if you don't want to be bothered, I'll tell you what. I am all for that, but I would always have that chain or that little lock on that. They'd at least have to be stopped, so I'd have to let them in if I was in the room.
Yeah, yeah. If you're in the room, I don't think that would be a bad idea. At least it's, you know, if you're busy doing something or whatever, you have to get up and allow them into the room. So yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. So all I would say is keep that little chain on, or it isn't actually a chain; it's that lever deal. You know what I'm saying? It's like
a
chain.
The prop, whatever you want to call it, the self-locking thing that you can only put on if you are in the room. You can't leave it on when you exit the room. So
yeah, so I don't always put that on, but I'll tell you what, it would always be on now with that
on. Yeah, because I mean, I understand why they're changing this. Obviously, Las Vegas and that whole shooting thing, and we all understand. But at the same time, I don't want somebody knocking on the door and coming in with me just hanging out on my bed or something. You know,
I would get Barney Fife. You know, Andy, there's a problem over here, Andy. I hear it. I'm going in. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get the overzealous security guard. It's going to come crash it into my room. You know what I mean? So I don't want to.
We heard you hate Expedition Everest. Why?
Exactly. You know, I don't know. But yeah, that would be my luck. I'd get Barty Fife kicking my door down. And I don't want that.
Well, I mean, really, with them taking my trash out for DVC, I have no problem with that whatsoever. One of my biggest chores on vacation was always having to find the nearest trash depot and lugging all our trash down there at least once or twice every couple of days. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with somebody changing my trash for me. That'll be okay. So.
No, it's not a bad deal. It can't hurt, right, John?
Exactly.
You just – and speaking of doing labor, what about the union workers? They didn't agree on the new contract.
That's not surprising. From what I heard, we're still having issues with that. So,
yeah, I mean, I think the counter offer was a little low. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Disney offered a starting wage of 11 over 2 years, and they wanted 15. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think. From what I've heard from everybody, I don't know. Let me hear what you think about this. Okay, so the way that Disney cast members are split up right now is, if you're a frontline employee, like I run the trains over at Animal Kingdom, okay, the people that work over in Fantasyland in the Magic Kingdom, people running Spaceship Earth over at Epcot. We all get paid exactly the same wage. And it doesn't matter if you've been there 10 years, 6 months, or 20 years. If you're doing that job, you get paid $10 an hour. It's a flat rate for a full-time, a part-time, or a college, one of the college program kids. everybody gets paid $10 an hour. And so what the union was trying to do was to get a raise for everybody across the board. And as a part-time employee, I don't think that's exactly fair. I think maybe the folks that have been there for a certain amount of time obviously owe, or they're entitled to more money. If you're a full-time employee, I think you're entitled to more money.
I kind of agree with you on what you're saying. What you're saying. You hear my English over here? You can tell it's been a long day. I'm drinking coffee right now because I had a few beers today. And I didn't get hammered. I just got tired. After two beers, I was so tired because of a long day, I started drinking coffee so we could do this wonderful show so we could have it out for Christmas. But what I think they should do, John, is, and this is just me, I understand, yeah, the full-time should get something, but I also think the part-timers, there should be thresholds that you guys pass. If you serve so many hours, you should be able to get a raise.
I think so, and what Disney doesn't do right now, in which this is the first job I've ever had, they don't give any merit raises.
No.
I've never had a job where if you work for a certain amount of time, they don't look at you and you go, you're meeting all our expectations or you're exceeding our expectations. You're a great employee. We're going to give you 50 cents more an hour. I've never had a job like that. And that's what Disney, I guess that's the last couple of contracts that the unions have signed, is there's no merit raises. And that amazes me. I can't believe that everybody gets paid the same.
No, I don't think that's right. And I think after you – the full-timers, after a year, they should get a yearly raise. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Even if it's 25, 30 cents, or, I mean, guys that have been there 10, 12, 15 years, that would add up.
Yeah, and it's not the people that obviously get higher up into management and then do other positions. You know, like I think the drivers on Kilimanjaro Safaris, they get paid a dollar more an hour because they drive the truck. Yeah. The security guards, they get paid a dollar or two more, and the bus drivers do because they have to have a special license and stuff like that. But if you're just working part-time, full-time, everybody on the trains right now is getting paid the same. And, I mean, I've been there 6 months. I don't think I should get paid the same as a guy that's been there for 2.5 years.
No.
I mean, that's just not fair. I mean, I don't understand that. So.
No, and – You're basically doing it because, you know, your passes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what yours is for. But if you're trying to feed a family or make this your sole living, it's kind of tough with what they're offering. I mean, I'll read the article here that I have. And it says, union workers at Walt Disney World reject contract offer. Union members who work at the Walt Disney World property voted overwhelmingly on Tuesday and Wednesday to reject a new contract deal that would have raised their wages by 6 to 10% over the next 2 years. Nearly 10,000 of the 38,000 Disney workers represented by the Service Trade Council cast a vote, with 93% rejecting a contract, according to Orlando Weekly. STCU is a coalition of six unions who represent Disney workers, including the United Here Local 362 and 737. Disney contract offers would have given full-time and part-time cast members, except those who received tips, a raise of 3% or 50 cents an hour, whichever was higher. Retroactive to September 24th, 2017, cast members would receive another identical raise in September of 2018. The offer also included a one-time $200 bonus for full-time cast members and those who received tips, the Orlando Sentinel reported. Most new Disney workers start at $10 an hour. Florida minimum wage is $8.10, and the union is seeking to increase that up to $15 an hour. Roughly 23,000 cast members represented by the union make less than $12 an hour. Disney offer would have increased the starting wage to $11 an hour over 2 years. So that's the 50-cent raise between now and, you know, so that ain't much. The company estimated that it averages hourly wages $13.34, including overtime and premium pay. In statements to the Orlando Sentinel and to Orlando ABC affiliate, Disney agreed that the cast members deserve a raise and was disappointed that its fair and reasonable offers were rejected. They were not fair or reasonable. They just paid $52 billion for FX, for Fox. Earlier this year, Disney also began offering or increased signing bonuses for certain positions, including culinary employees, housekeepers, and bus drivers. The Sentinel has reported at the time, November data from the U.S. Department of Labor puts Orlando unemployment rate at only 3.2%, below the national average at 4.1%. With the contract rejected, both parties will return to the bargaining table in February. They've been at odds on contract negotiations since the summer, and Disney has already requested a federal mediator to assist. I think Disney should be offering at least 12 to 13 bucks an hour myself. I mean, come on.
I'm thinking that a $11 to $12 opening wage for a part-time employee would be fair. And then some kind of merit raise after six months to 9 months would be appropriate. You know, I mean, if you're a great employee, you haven't called in sick, you don't miss days, all that good stuff, then you get 50 cents, 75 cents more an hour. I mean, that would be fair and reasonable, but apparently they're not. I don't know. I don't get why they don't do that. But the thing I was trying to say was that the union is trying to shoot for full time, part time, and the college kids to all get the same raise, where a lot of the full time employees are they're hoping that they can kind of go out by themselves and try to get the raise for themselves, because without dragging all the part-time and college kids in there, they would have an easier time. But I don't know if that's going to happen. So,
nah, dude, I don't know. I think they deserve more. I'm a union member, and I don't think it's enough. I ain't even going to say for the money that park makes. We all know it makes hand over fist.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the frontline employees are what makes Disney.
That's the thing. I mean, obviously, you know, it's great that we have all these great managers and people that support us and all that stuff, but nobody's going to go home and say, hey, Bill in the back was the happiest cast member ever, because they're not going to see Bill in the back. You know, they're going to see John driving the train. I mean, that's who you're going to remember, hopefully, and have a positive Disney memory over, is the person on Spaceship Earth that helped you get in and out of the car, or the person on the Haunted Mansion that creeped you out. I mean, that's the person that you remember. And that's the guy that's making $10 an hour. So yeah, I think they deserve a raise. So
yeah, I don't get it. And did you see the two new Magic Bands they have out? They have a new Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, with all of them: Bashful, Doc, Dopey, Grumpy, Happy, Sleepy, and Sneezy. It's a brown Magic Band with them all on it.
Oh, that's super cool. No, I haven't seen that yet.
The new Magic Band design is $22.99. It'll be on. It just came online on December 18th, and then they also have debuting on January 8th. A solid color millennial pink Magic Band will retail at $12.99. So.
And what is that going to be part of the? If it's solid pink, will that be part of the ones that you can just pick, or is that something you have to buy?
Well, right now it's saying $12.99, but I wouldn't be surprised if they start adding it in the color palette. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Brown one and the pink one.
Yeah, well, the brown is the background of the Seven Dwarfs. I don't know if it's going to be a brown, but... And new Cirque du Soleil, there's going to be a new one coming next year. Do you hear that?
Yeah, that from what I've heard, that the one that they're running now is in its last couple of shows, and so the new one will be debuting sometime very soon, right?
Well, I don't know when exactly, but it's going to be – the cool thing is it's going to be it will showcase Disney animation. So that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, you want me to read that article?
Yeah, you on
– Yeah, okay, I got it.
Go ahead.
Nearly 20 years ago, after teaming up to bring Lanuba to the stage, the two entertainment companies are working together on a new collaboration. The original show will be created by Cirque du Soleil and will pay homage to Disney's rich history of animation with a vivid story told in a way that only Cirque du Soleil can deliver. Daniel Lemaire, president and CEO of Cirque du Soleil Entertainment Group, elaborated, sharing, "We are incredibly inspired by Disney's immense creative universe. We are convinced that bringing Disney's magic to life on stage will touch audiences and bring them back to their childhood. An opening date is yet to be announced. The current Lanuba show will have its final performance on December 31st, 2017. Actually, that would actually make me go to Cirque du Soleil. I would be interested to see if they're going to have some Disney animation out there. That's very exciting. So.
Nah, that would get me to go. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I've thought me and Lisa have talked about it a couple of times and then ended up not doing it. But, yeah, with Disney animation out there and depending on which ones they put into it, I think that would be worth doing. So.
Nah, I'm excited about that, dude. I really am.
Yeah, sounds very, very cool.
And I would love to do like a dinner package with one of the Springs hotels. I hope they do something. I mean, not a dinner package, with one of the Springs restaurants dinner package. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Hopefully they'll do something like that. I think it would be really cool.
You are correct, sir.
And my last thing I have here is Pat's favorite attraction is going to be going down for a one-month refurbishment in 2018. The American Adventure at Epcot will be closed for refurbishment from January 5th, 2018 to February 5th, 2018. No word yet on whether this is simply a maintenance refurbishment or if any of the show scenes or films will be changed during this time. Dude, I just think it's maintenance. I don't see them changing anything. Do you, John?
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
No, I don't know what they would possibly change it to. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So.
I mean, that ride is... I mean, I don't know. That show is so awesome. I don't want to change myself.
No, it's a fantastic show. So I can't imagine seeing doing anything else there. So
one wore blue and one wore gray. That's one of my favorite parts of it. It's sad as heck, but you know what I'm saying? When they sing that, it just makes you realize what our families and the struggles they went through with the building of this country.
Well, it's like any other Disney thing. There's some sad points and there's some high points, and at the end of it, if you're a patriotic American, you're halfway to tears. So.
that seeing my Indian in that really makes me sad.
Oh, there's so many points in there that are poignant, and that's one of the reasons that I really enjoy the show, because they don't I mean. They kind of sugarcoat some certain things, aspects of America's history, but they do talk about slavery. They talk about the injustices we did to Native Americans. So, I mean, they don't shy too far away from saying that we definitely had some bad points in our history. So,
well, now you're mentioning it. Now they're going to make them remove all that because it's not politically correct anymore. You know, apparently we're not allowed to have any history in this country anymore. Pat's going to be out of a job sooner or later because he ain't going to be able to tell any stories. And I'm not even trying to be smart, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, I feel bad for everything that's happened. Like, I'm American Indian, but you got to tell the story of it, or how's our kids going to know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But I don't want to go any deeper because I'll get in deep trouble if I talk too much. You know what I'm saying?
I got you. What I was trying to look up here for anybody that might be down in Orlando or on vacation from February to March is the Dr. Phillips Center. Our local performing arts center is going to have the Lion King on stage. It's actually here from February 14th to March 11th. So if you happen to be vacationing in Orlando during that time and you want to come see the Lion King show, look up the Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center and grab you some tickets, because I would love to see that show, and I think there's quite a few fans out there that maybe they don't have the chance to see it. So if you're in Orlando, take the chance and go see it one night. So,
That would be good. It's the real McCoy.
Yeah. And tickets start at $35. So.
You're gonna go check it out?
I'm going to try to get tickets for me and Lisa to go see it. She's talked about going and see it. We've never done it, so I'd love to see that one time.
Well,
so.
You have to let us know if you do.
Okay.
But anyway, we're going to have to go because we got to go wrap some presents and get ready for Santa Claus. But please, guys, everybody have a very Merry Christmas. We hope all you guys get everything that you wish that Santa would bring down the chimney. Even Pat and Dave, I hope you guys get everything you wish for. We want to say Merry Christmas to all of our to everybody that listens to the show. Thank you so much for being a part of the WDW Main Street family. We want to celebrate Christmas with everybody, don't we, John?
Absolutely. Everybody head over to the pub, and I'm going to buy a round.
All right, there you go. But everybody, please, if you want to give us a Christmas present, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Head over to our website, It's All in WDW, and check out all the fine sponsors of our show. And check out all Bob's wonderful articles. He did a really good – if you want to see who's going to be at the Eat to the Beat concerts in – what is it? No, the Springs. And Eat to the Beat. I'm thinking of Food and Wine. If you want to see who's going to be at the Flower and Garden Festival, head on over to our website. And Bob had listed all the bands going to be playing. John's going to be listening to Hotel California, aren't you, John?
Oh, absolutely. I'm so there.
So, John, no
Let
longer –
Let me Smeagles.
What about the Weekly Pint, John? Are you there or no?
Well, we're supposed to record maybe tomorrow night. I don't know. So at this point, no. So.
Okay. Anyway, maybe he released something on 4th of July last week. Anyway, if you want to find John, go over to Beer Solo and he'll let you know if the Weekly Pint's still going on. If you want to find me, you can find me at Good Old Grumpy 67. You can find us all at WDW Main Street. Please, guys, be kind to one another. And again, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all that good stuff. And we will talk to you soon.
Hey, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's. Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye-bye.
Everybody, go Pluto! Gosh!
Well, that's it, guys. It's last call here at the pub. We're going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and head on out of here. But before we go, let me tell you about two of our other fine sponsors. American Tourist Travel. If you need a Disney vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. That's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a very safe and happy week. Bye-bye.